Well, the climate story is getting worse by the month, and now it's ocean warming. That's clearly dire. But what if we could build new industries around actually using carbon dioxide instead of trying to bury it? Here are two green chemists at Monash, Doug McFarlane and Dr. Philip Chan.
So I'm a synthetic organic chemist, and so my primary research area is one that's involved in developing new chemical processes that would be of benefit to not only academia in terms of generating new knowledge, but also to industry, so that they can maybe use that new knowledge to better processes and also to generate new materials for applications in society.
Now, going to your colleague Doug McFarlane, you're working on CO2, carbon dioxide, and if we capture vast amounts of it, the question is what to do with it?
Exactly, what to do with it? Well, in some recent work, we've shown that you can take CO2, water, sunlight, and with nothing more than that, and a special catalyst, of course, that's the key thing, generate methanol. Now, methanol is a simple, stable liquid, not very different from ordinary alcohol. And you can run a car on methanol. You can run your stove at home on methanol. You could run a fuel cell to generate electricity in your home on methanol. So there is one possibility there. If we have enormous lakes of carbon dioxide, we could make enormous quantities of methanol and turn ourselves into a methanol fuel-driven society.
Yeah, just a cautionary note, it may be like ethanol, that's the alcohol we drink, but methanol will kill you if you drink it, won't it?
That is correct, yeah. It is toxic. It is very toxic, yes.
So that's the big idea. Is anyone working on it directly apart from you in the lab?
The idea of using CO2 as a chemical building block is one that's really becoming quite widespread around the chemical community. Anywhere where we can see a way to use CO2 as the source of carbon in any form of chemistry, in fuel chemistry, in plastics chemistry, in pharmaceutical chemistry, for example, then people like ourselves and like Phil Chen here are working on that. And industries are slowly but surely picking up on this. It's a cheap, readily available source of carbon. We just have to solve the problem of getting the energy into it. It's always an energy-consuming process from appropriate sustainable sources, and the catalysts selectively produce the things that we want to produce.
Yeah, you know, it's always puzzled me. You've got coal here in Victoria, plenty of it, especially the dirty stuff. Is that possibly instead of going to power stations, the basis for a chemical industry here?
Actually, it is. There's a little bit of work going on here at Monash that we're part of that is trying to extract and then make high-value chemicals from coal. The coal we have in Victoria should not in the future be used for generating electricity. It's too dirty a fuel for that purpose. But it is a valuable source potentially of other carbon materials that we might need, again, for plastics and pharmaceuticals in particular. So it does have a role, but the quantities involved will be much smaller than we currently use at the moment.
So how are you getting on with that kind of research? Any surprises?
I was pretty surprised when we were successful with this methanol production catalyst. It's a very complex nanoparticle that is designed with several features in it. And all of this is done at a nanometer level. And the selectivity for methanol was quite a surprise. And it took us a while to figure out and prove how it actually works. So it's one of those things that was more serendipitous than complete design.
And are there any other lines apart from that?
Well, another very exciting area is the production of ammonia and ammonium compounds from nitrogen in the atmosphere. So what a plant person would call nitrogen fixation. Now, we need to do that because ammonia-based fertilizers are an absolute critical part of the food system, and there's an enormous amount of energy used in the world every day making nitrogenous fertilizers. So if we can come up with a catalyst that will take nitrogen from the atmosphere, water, sunshine, or some other source of light to make ammonia-based fertilizers, then this is an important contribution both to food security but also to energy systems in the world.
Well, the important word there is catalyst, and I don't mean the television programme at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays when it's in season, the science programme. What I do mean is the kind of chemical ingredient that you need to get to make the reaction work. Where do you get yours from?
Well, these are the catalysts that are designed and made. So that's our job here is making what we might call sophisticated nanostructures, which have multiple functions, absorbing light, separating electrons from other parts of the molecule, channeling those electrons to the chemistry that we want to do, and inevitably carrying out some other chemistry that has to be part of the overall process.
Are they very hard to get, or do you have millions of them?
Because they're very small, we have more than millions. We have billions and trillions of them, because these are like dust. But it's a magic dust. It carries out a very sophisticated function. But all we're doing ultimately is mixing this fine dust into water or into a gas stream to do their job.
Well, Philip Chan, it sounds very exciting, doesn't it? Do you expect it will change our attitudes to CO2, a colourless gas, a harmless gas, as they say sometimes?
I think it will. So I once called it dangerous but precious, and I believe that it is becoming a precious material.
Oh, absolutely. Carbon dioxide is the ultimate building block. And if we can harness that to our advantage, that will change the way we go about doing the chemistry that essentially support human society and the way that we live and the way that we maintain our standard of living, in essence.
Professor Philip Chan, who's working with Warwick University in Britain and Singapore on some of those new lines, and Doug McFarlane, who's an Australian Laureate Fellow at Monash University.